Bibles, we're going to be in that version if you use your some kind of Bible app or something. But what I want to share with you tonight is that we're going to look at Psalms 23. It is Psalms 23 is probably the most well known, most memorized Old Testament scripture. It is used in times when it's used a lot in obituaries. It's used in a lot of funerals and memorials when someone passes away. It is used also in hospitals. It's used in hospice. It's used in all those moments when intense situations in our lives. It's used on the battlefield with soldiers as they fight. Even in their last breath, it's been known that many will repeat some part of Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Or they'll put something in there from these scriptures. And because it is a very powerful chapter in the book of Psalms, and actually in God's Word, is probably one of the most well-known Old Testament scriptures. But we're going to be there tonight, and we're going to work through that. And I want to work through this tonight so that we can understand, because I know all of us have been to funerals. All of us have lost loved ones and friends and family that's been very close to us. And sometimes it's hard to process that and to work through that. And so tonight we're going to work, and we're going to go through this as a Psalm of David. And in the beginning of this, he does use some things that we're going to dive into. So looking forward to reaching through these about six verses tonight and see if we can't learn what David was writing and how it helps us even today. And it's such a powerful scripture that it is worth memorizing. It is worth memorizing. But the key is, you need to know what it means. You need to know what it means. Not just read it, but you need to know what it means. I do want to pray. Father, Lord, we thank you again for tonight. We thank you again for the prayer requests that we've had earlier. And but now we break into your word. We break into the bread, and we break into the spiritual food that we need tonight. Open up ourselves that we may open us up, Lord, and we may receive it, and then we may grow from it. It's in Christ's name, amen. So we see here now, in the beginning of this, David begins right there in verse 1. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so we see here David is using this shepherd piece as shepherd being God. And so here we find out the shepherd, and because David was a shepherd boy. He was a shepherd, he knows about sheep. And that's what he did. He took care of his family's sheep. And it's something that he could relate to very well, and God uses that. So this is that, and the shepherd takes care of sheep, and God being our shepherd, God takes care of us. God takes care of us, and that's what he does. And so we see that here in the beginning, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He is our provider. He is always, he's always there for us. He is, the shepherd is a constant protector of the sheep, and God protects us. It is the awesome thing that God does. But sheep are helpless. Sheep are very helpless. Sheep cannot defend themselves. And the Bible refers us to as sheep. You know why? Because God is our protector. The shepherd is the protector. The shepherd is the one that we need to listen to and follow. But he does say in verse 2, he says this in verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads," here I am doing the King James Version, "He leads me beside the still waters." Yes, because anyway. So the shepherd is God. So David is using God as his shepherd. So he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now listen, sheep are just, they're afraid of everything. They're afraid. And we are very, very stressful people. We stress. We as people, we stress. And animals stress as well. And the sheep, they will not lay down unless they feel safe. Sheep will not lay down unless they feel safe. And who makes them feel safe? The shepherd does. They know his voice, and the sheep know his voice. They see him, and when they see him, they can lay down. They can lay down. And that's what God, that's what we do. As the world is in chaos, the world is even in chaos right now. Every time election year comes around, everybody says, this is the one, this is the one. It's always the one. It's always, this is the most important one. Let me just remind you, every day is the most important day. Because every day is a day where someone is, they're battling through, do they want to turn their life over to Christ? Do they want salvation? Are they going to continue to live a life in sin, lost, and separated from God? So we are always concerned about, I just wish that the Christians, and I'm concerned, and I love our nation, but I wish we were more concerned about the things of God than the things in the world. People are stressing out all over the place because what they see, the one they want to vote for, this or that, this or that. Listen, if you go back and you read your Bible, you'll see that God had a lot of bad kings, but he was still working and still moving. Everything doesn't stand and fall on America. It doesn't. We think it does. There are people out there pushing for power plays, pushing for power positions, thinking that's the arrival. But here we find out that God's word says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I need a rest. God lets us rest. And we're able to do that because we know that when we know who we are in Christ, we know who God is, we know that we can lay down and be calm, even in stressful times, and we can rest because we know who our protector is. Yeah. So people use these scriptures in funerals because there's such a peace with all these verses. It gives us a peace. It gives us understanding. It gives us help at the finish line. And he leads me beside the still waters. And here it is. Even sheep are afraid of fast water. They will not even go up and drink from a fast running water from a river. But here it is. Who calms those rivers? We have a tendency to be afraid of things in our life. And we struggle with it. But the shepherd is able to calm the sheep down. And so as a shepherd works with the sheep, God also works with us. And he can calm the things in our lives. And even when we're going through funerals and we've lost someone, and listen, the scriptures doesn't take your pain away. It just helps you work through it. The scriptures gives you a peace and understanding. It helps you work through the loss that you're going through. It helps you work through the pain of having lost a loved one. And the problem, the thing with losing loved ones is, once they pass, we never see their face again unless it's on a picture, unless it's on a mantle, you know, whatever it is. We don't get to talk to them anymore. And so the world doesn't understand. They have all kinds of things. Some people believe that everybody goes to heaven. And I've done many funerals for people that would never say they believed in Christ, but they want to believe in heaven, that we'll all see my dad again. I'll see my mom again. Listen, the promises are in God's word. The promises are not in our mouths. They're in God's word. When it comes to heaven, it's all done by his way. But he says, he restores my soul. He restores my soul, right? But I want to go back here for a second because I missed a part. When he leads me beside the still waters, there's so many of us need a moment of peace, don't we? We need some peace. I did want to share a scripture. It's in Revelation. I'm just going to read it here. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17 says this: "For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne," and that Lamb is Jesus here, "will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Wow, David didn't even know that would be written, but they worked together. And in verse 3, we see here that he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. So many times our souls are just famished. Our souls are thirsty. And so it's a struggling thing for us to try to work through. And here it is. God knows we need times of refreshing. We need to be refreshed in our spirit. Our soul needs to be refreshed. And really, we can't do that on our own, can we? We can do the things like we can take a couple of days off. We can go to a retreat. We can do things. We can make adjustments in our schedule. We can try to calm ourselves down. And the world will have all kinds of ways to do that. I'll go to meditation over here. Go over here and do yoga. Go do these things. Listen, it is God who gives us peace. It is God who gives us peace. It is God who restores the soul. It is God who does the work that we can't do. And the work on the inside, sometimes we're just real messy on the inside. We really are. We're so messy. But also he says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Sheep get lost. Sheep wander off. They get lost. And so it says here, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. God knows how to lead. I wish we would learn how to just have a hunger to follow the way God wants. Have a hunger to follow where God wants us to go. So he leads me in the paths of righteousness. So he's leading me in the way that he wants me to go. But sometimes we are like sheep. We lack the sense of direction. We get lost and we go astray. And people are just like sheep. So the shepherd guides them back on the path. And you know that you that have been prodigals, you know that it wasn't that God strayed away. It was that you strayed away. You're that sheep that you strayed away from the things of the Lord. You strayed away from the path of righteousness. And when you get off the path of righteousness, you're getting ready to get on the path of unrighteousness. And you always find yourself, when you stray from the Lord, you start living unrighteously. Come on, right? When we walk away and we lose our direction, we start doing things that doesn't work as being a Christian. We're going against the grain. So we stray. But God says this, the Word says this, he restores my soul, which means he refreshes my soul, and he leads me. He gets me back in the path of righteousness. You know, when you're living right for Christ, you feel good on the inside. Doesn't mean you always have great days. Everybody has a bad day. Sometimes you have bad weeks. Sometimes you go through loss. But Christians have a way, if we do it the way God wants us, we live in righteousness, we're following Christ, we're praying, we're calling out to God. He has a way of bringing us and holding us when we're going through hard times. And the world is distressed. They'll go out and go deeper into addiction. They'll go out and don't know how to handle the pain, so they abuse somebody. They go through and they just quit their job, or they just go and sometimes they just check out. But it says, this is why it's important. A good one to memorize. He restores my soul. Yes. Yes. And he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And here it is. Why? For his name's sake. He is our creator. He wants us to live right. And it's for his glory that we are living right, to please God. And God is happy about that. And he does it to lift your life up, but it also reflects, and he gets glory from you living right. And again, as we talked about a few weeks ago, when you start living the way God wants you to, and you're living in righteousness, you become a light in a dark world. And we have too many Christians falling into darkness, and we need to stay in the light of the paths of righteousness. So these scriptures, when people read it, they read through it, and then they're going through a loss. They begin to say, he restores my soul. Even though I lost this love person, I'm going through a loss. I know that God has restored my soul. I know that I have peace within my soul. And also, when he leads me in the paths of righteousness, I'm not going to let my emotions overtake me and I make bad decisions. And I remember the way I'm walking my life is to praise and be glory to God. But verse 4 is one that's used on the battlefield so many times. It's used in those intensely moments of where death is right on the fringe. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, right? Why? Because God is with us, right? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The writer is saying, you are with me. David's life was so many times weighed in the balance of where he could have been killed. But here it is. If God has him in his hand, it doesn't matter how many people were trying to kill him. And God is his protector. And he sees that. But he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And notice many times that we'll see that people go through that is on their deathbed, whether it be in the hospital. Usually when you go into hospice, most of the time you're not coming out. You're not walking out. You're being led out. That's kind of tough. Hospice is a tough place, but even on the battlefield, that's why we see so many soldiers. War is horrible, but also we know that war also leads many to Christ. And the Civil War, even as bad as it was the South. The soldiers in the South, when they were being beaten, they were going through their thing and everything. It is God had did a great revival in the hearts. After that Civil War was over, God did a great revival in the hearts of many of those soldiers and many of the people in the South. Let me ask you a question. Where's the Bible Belt today? It's in the South. Where's some of the most strongest churches and the oldest churches in America? In the South. A lot in the East. Up and down the East Coast, but it's in the South. And so, you know, Texas has thousands of, just in the Baptist world, Texas has like, I think maybe 12,000, something like that. I could be off on that, but I do know that Alabama has way, you know, Alabama, Mississippi, they're in the 5,000, 3 to 5,000 range. Florida's in the upper, in the mid 3,000 range. Kentucky's in the 2,000 range. Wow. Just in the Baptist. But Indiana's in the 400 range. And so we know that there is a strong presence. But in the valley of the shadow of death, God does some great work. Did you know people can get saved on their deathbed? Yeah. Now, do they miss out on a lot? They do. They miss out on being able to live a life for God and being able to miss out on being a blessing to God in the world. But I want to tell you, when it comes down to what is the most important thing, that a man, a woman repent before God of their lifestyle and of their sins. And this gives a moment. And part of that, people will call out God, not just for so many times that they've done in life, but sometimes it's for the first time. And you know what? God knows the ones that are legit. He knows the ones that he'll receive. He knows the ones that were real. And so, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's God is even with people in their darkest moments. You know when you were in your darkest moment, right? It may not have been death, but it was a dark moment. You might have wondered where God was. But deep down in your spirit, because you're a believer, you knew, and you knew he was there. You may have got angry because you thought he wasn't, but you knew if you had to answer the question, was God with you? You know when you, in your right mind, in your right spirit, you will say, God was with me. Even through the hardest, darkest moments, God is with me. Even in those scariest times, he is there. So even when you don't think you can make it through, I like what it says, yea, though I walk, I'm walking through the valley, and part of that, it could be the shadow of death. It may not be, and you're walking through. It says, I'm not going to fear evil. Do you know when you're about to die? You don't know when you're about, but when you know when you are about to die, God is already, he's there. He knows. It's not a surprise. Even in car accidents, God is not surprised. God's already got his angels in the midst. They're already busy. They're doing their thing. And they're going to take good care of you. Because why? Because you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Your salvation is real to you. And I'm telling you, it's more, even more real to God the Father. It is so real. And even at death, he is there. He says, for you are with me. And he says, now your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here's the thing with the sheep. The sheep know, they know their shepherd, but they also know that hook and staff. They know that it's there to defend, so they feel safe, but they also know it's there to pull and then get them back in line. And so they know what it is that the shepherd used. And we should know also that God also uses a rod sometimes as discipline for us, but also it is there to protect us from the enemy. That's good, isn't it? Because if I know I know the rod's there for discipline, I know it's something that I did. But sometimes the enemy does come and attack. But we know this, that God is all powerful and God protects. Aren't you glad that God protects and you know that He protects you? And so the sheep don't fear when they know that they're with the shepherd and the shepherd's with them. And so we know that these are great verses that David used so that we can understand from using a shepherd, because he understood the shepherd and we as the sheep. But then it shifts. This is amazing how it shifts. And it shifts in verse 5. Verse 5, now he moves into the point of almost just being God, not being just a shepherd, but now he's being a host. A host. Let's check it out. So he's going to be a host. So the host, here we go. You prepare me, or you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Is that runneth? Runs over. So here we find out what you, God. He's saying, you, God, prepare a table before before my enemies in the presence of my. It's a host. It's a feast that's going to happen. That great supper that's going to happen. We're going to be a part of that. And so when we know that God is He's an awesome host. I'm going to tell you, He's going to be the best host you've ever been around. And He's going to have it laid out. And it's a promise. And so I just think that's an awesome thing. So here's what we know. If we lost a loved one, we know that if they know Jesus Christ, they have Him as their Savior, we know this. They're going to be a part of that too. We're going to sit and we're going to dine with our Lord Jesus Christ, with our Lord and Savior. But we're also going to dine with those who have passed on and before us. Wow, isn't that awesome? That's why this is comforting. That's why this chapter is so used so much, because it's not just about getting through. It's about the promise of the future. And I know this. God loves to tell you that, hey, you, whatever you're going through now, I'm telling you, God has an awesome future for believers. It's not because I'm saying it. It's because God's Word says it. Because God's Word says it. So you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So the enemies are not going to be there. We're going to be with those who are part of Christ. I'm telling you, evil has a lot. There's a lot of enemies in the world today. A lot of enemies. We have enemies today. And we know where that's coming, because the Scripture says in Ephesians 6 that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, right? But it's these principalities and darkness. It's the evil. But just as much as God uses people, the Holy Spirit uses people, so does Satan. So does his dominion, and his darkness uses people too. So our enemy is darkness. But we know that what some people do, the enemy uses darkness or uses people, and people persecute Christians. They want to persecute. I'm telling you right now, there's some people across the world and even in America that would love for us to be persecuted, just to put the church out of business. But Jesus himself said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So we know that God's church, which is the bride of Christ, and no matter what, God is holding it all together. So Christ is holding that together. So here we find that there is going to be a great feast, that we're going to be a part of it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That is an amazing piece. But then he says this, you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. That's a time where people would be on a long journey, and they'd come into a house back then, and you would go into a home, and then that host there would just put that oil over your head and just kind of help clean you, just give you that refreshing moment and that refreshing time. You know what? Some of the best refreshing moments can happen right here in church service. When you come in and you come in and you're really wanting to say, you know what, I need to get my worship going today. Even if I don't want to, I know I'm going, I need to do this. I need to be refreshed in the Lord. But you know, you can also be refreshed in your car. You can pull, there's been so many times, you've heard me say, there's been times I've been going from A to B, and I ain't got no more time to stress over this. I'm going to pull this car in a parking lot, find a big vacant area, and me and the Lord are going to have a chat. And I find myself repenting on some things, or I find myself, what I'm going to pray about turns around, and sometimes God just says, chill. Calm down. I got this. Let go. It's okay to cry. It's okay to just fall apart for a minute. It's okay. Call out on me, whatever it may be. And God gives us the time. And just so many times I take my New Testament Bible and I find a place and I just walk. And me and him, I said, Lord, I need a word today. And I'll just say, and I have my spots, and I'll just say, I'm going to read this small chapter. And Lord, just speak to me through your word today. I want to tell you, by the time I get back to the car, so many times I just felt so refreshed. Business of the day will always be there. But those moments of refreshing, saying, listen, I need to give God some time. And I think this is part of that. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. And that part with my cup runneth over, the blessings of the Lord are not just a little, it overflows the cup. It's an old gospel song that says, I'm drinking from the saucer, which means I'm not drinking from the cup, I'm drinking from the overflow. The blessings have overflowed out of the cup, and I'm drinking from the saucer, because God has given me so much. And if you really look at it in your life, do you even deserve the blessings God's given to you? Do you deserve not your second chance or your third chance, but you even deserve the new chance you got today and you can't even count the other chances? Listen, God's blessings are so overflowing. I think this shows a lot about God's love and mercy and all those things. But then he says in verse 6, he says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Wow. It is though, even though, when we're talking about God's blessings in these times of hard times, and times when it's scary and darkness, and times of loss, it's like you're on this journey, and you're on this journey, you're walking in this darkness. It's almost like blessings are chasing you. It's like God's blessings are chasing you, because if you're living in righteousness and you're following God, you can't help. God just wants to bless you. Look how much David went through. If you know the story of David, God continued to bless him over and over and over. Even on his way to become even when he found out he was going to be king, and it took a while for him to become officially the king, and he was anointed. All those things that he went through, God was there every single moment. And the blessings just kept chasing him. And you will not understand that until you have a strong relationship with God. I'm going to tell you, you will not understand that until you've been in hardship and you know that it is hard, but you know this. You can say it with all your heart, my God is here. And the blessings, no matter where you're going through that valley of darkness, the blessings just follow you. And that's what the world cannot handle. Darkness cannot handle you being blessed, even when you go through a hard time. And certainly darkness cannot handle it when you repent and God begins to bless you again. Because darkness would say, you're a sinner. You don't deserve the blessings of God. But God blesses those who follow him. And when we repent, that means we've repented of it. We ask for forgiveness of it. And repenting is turning away, getting right back. And God blesses. God loves to bless. So he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Listen, that's it. All the days of my life. Not just on my weekdays of my life or just on my Sundays of my life, but it's all the days of my life. And listen, you know that if you've been a Christian a while and you know that you've been through hard times, you know and you have had to learn that you can praise God in your darkest hours. But it's even in those darkest hours sometimes where we feel that we are the closest to God. Jesus was in a moment on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's one of the most intimate things that he ever said. That come all from the heart and all from the spirit. And then he ends this in verse 6. Again, being the host. Host is not just preparing a table, a big feast, not just taking care of the the guests that are coming in and help clean and get taking care of them, and not just putting in what is blessing them, but also it's overflowing. It's like God wants to bless you like you're going to go to one of those smorgasbord places, and you just the tables are big and it's got all this stuff on there, and you're like, well, I don't even know where to start. And then he ends it with this. He says, and I will dwell. This is the great ending. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This gives us this consultant. This gives us peace when we lose a loved one. When it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And you know that the loved one that you have lost knew Christ, has Christ in their life. You knew this. That's where they are right now. Yeah. So even though our heart has cracks in it from life, because life is so hard and loss is tough, especially from close loved ones and family, that our heart gets cracks in it, but it still beats because of the power of the Lord. And we don't give up. And we know what keeps us going is the promises of God. That I just don't end because my heart stops beating. You know, there are people that believe that. I watched a documentary last night. It was 2 hours long on a woman who, I won't say her name, a woman who is a famous woman, a TV person, who grew up, says she was a believer and a Christian, but she turned around and she turned everything around. And why now that she's an atheist? Yeah. And then she believes in all these other things and says, why would a God do this? Why would a God do that? But Scripture says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yeah. But it's only for the believer. Psalms 23 is only for the believer. Because anyone that walks through the valley of the shadow of death is not a believer, ought to be fearful and afraid. But not the believer. Not the believer. So tonight I would say this, that God is our provider. He is also our protector and our sustainer. He's our Savior. He's our peace and healer and promise. And He is our judge. God is our Father. He's our refuge. He's our strength and comforter. He's our encourager. He's our guide. But tonight we find out also that God is our shepherd. And He's our host. God is good. In Psalms 23, I pray tonight, has opened you up to knowing that it's best to be a Christian no matter what's going on, because with being a believer, you have peace even in hardships. Even in hardship. Father, thank you for the gift of your Scripture. Thank you for the gift of Psalms 23. It sure does give us a real security. It gives us real peace. It gives us understanding. And it gives us real comfort when we lose someone. But also gives us and shows us your promise of our future and the future of those who are believers. Now, Father, tonight as we get ready to move into our next part of our service, I pray, Father, Lord, that our hearts are open and we might be receptive of your Holy Spirit and move. If you see it, may we follow. In Christ's name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand.